Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 722. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
Guys, I found my animality. I think it needs to go to the vet.
Oh, God, the animality.
Earl is here.
You know, sometimes your own actions come back to bite you in the ass, and it's just not fair. Like, karma shouldn't work that way, is all I'm saying.
And Jeff is back with us.
Drinking good old American beer, Busch Light.
He's using the word good loosely.
I genuinely like it, man. Like, I was so skeptical. I'm like, there's no way that this could be like any like drinkable at all at half the price of like Miller Lite. But for the last year or two, if I'm buying beer, I'm buying if I'm buying light beer, I'm buying Busch Light. Fuck it.
Cheap is cheap, so. So as Tony mentioned, he mentioned animalities. We'll be talking about Mortal Kombat Annihilation shortly, but we want to circle back to Jeff's Busch Light.
Which is much more important.
Because before we started, Jeff, you mentioned it's like the cheapest one. Like, is it the cheapest one? Like,
there might be cheaper, but it is very cheap. It's like $15 for a 30 pack.
Oh my God.
Yeah,
pretty cheap.
I'm out there spending $15 on like a 4-pack.
Yeah, like you could buy one and you're like buy a 30 pack and you have it for weeks and weeks. Like,
I wonder why.
I'm pretty sure if I had a 30 pack of that, it would last a lot longer than weeks, maybe years.
I don't really go for the heavy, like, you know, I'm mostly a bourbon drinker these days, but I just gotta cut down on it because I'm just too fat. Gotta get less fat. Switching to light beer, I'm sure that'll help.
I think Busch is the first beer I tried, and it was like a skunked can that had been in my parents' refrigerator
for way too
fucking long. Like, they bought it for a Christmas. Like, my parents didn't drink beer, but they bought it for like a Christmas party. And we stole it out of the refrigerator at like 11 or 12 or something. And it was gross.
Well, even if it was
it's
like
gross good, anyway.
Even if it was good, like the first beer you're ever going to try,
yeah, it's,
like,
gross. Yeah, beer, it's beer a, gross. Acquired taste for sure.
But I'd say, you know, I don't know if you ever drink light beer, Chris, but like, just give it a shot. It's cheap as fuck. And I was a believer after like one can. I was like, yeah, you know what? I think it, like, I'm being completely honest about this. And if I did not think it, I wouldn't say it. But like, I think it tastes better than Miller Lite, like, or Bud Light. So I'm like, okay. It's half the price, and I think it tastes better.
Well, I think compared to Miller Lite, it probably has taste. I don't think the taste is good, but it has a flavor.
I mean, it's still, you know, it's light beer. It's very pretty watery, but I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, like, I don't, like, go out of my way to order light beer, but, like, you know, if I'm at a party or something, somebody has, like, a Miller Lite, I will drink it if that's all they have.
Yeah, I don't know. They're good in the summertime, like, you know. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. I don't want to, like, sit down and drink, like, a porter.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I'm going to sit down around the campfire. It's 100 degrees out here with a porter.
I feel like we just need to give you folks seminars on actual good beers.
You know what? It's a decent beer that I've tried recently that I liked. I think I might have mentioned it already, but Kona Big Wave, I think, is pretty good.
Yeah. Decent.
That's a good
like a standard style beer. Like, it's, you know, it's decent.
It's like a Hawaiian lager, right?
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's beer talk.
I'm drinking a West Coast IPA. It is actually delicious.
Earl, what are you drinking? Anything?
I got a Montauk Juicy IPA. I need to go bear shopping.
I'm drinking some sparkling water. So
I don't know that brand.
You don't have that brand?
What's the ABV on that one?
You never know these days. You never know.
Honestly, I'm not sure. bought it at Walmart, and they can't sell liquor here, so I assume nothing, but who knows?
Okay, how does that?
Here you could get liquor at Walmart, but it's like in its own section. You have to pay for it in that section. It's weird. Or like, actually, if it's beer or wine, you could take it out of that section and just pay it up front. But like, if you're trying to buy a bottle of booze, you have to buy it in the little liquor section of the Walmart.
So
like, I don't get the point of all that, but
Pennsylvania is really weird. I think we have talked about this before, but we have what are called state stores, and that's where we buy liquor at. Like, you cannot buy liquor anywhere else in Pennsylvania unless you go to a state-run liquor store.
That's true in Maryland, too.
Okay. And then we have beer distributors. That's where you go get your beer. Although recently, in the last few years, they allow like grocery stores. And it's like what you just described, Jeff, where it's like you go in, it's like a separate section. You have to cash out there.
It's annoying. Like, what is the point? Like, what is, I don't get what that accomplishes.
It's really funny, you know, because like I vacation sometimes in PA. And if you'll have like the supermarket, like they will have literally a beer store attached to it.
Yep.
But it's like, it's two different entities. Even though you could literally sometimes take the beer from that store, do your grocery shopping and check out with it. But because it's like you're buying from another store, so they're not technically selling it to you. Like, okay, this is sure.
At least you don't live in one of the states where on Sunday there's no beer. You're fucked. She didn't stack up.
It used to be Pennsylvania.
Are you serious?
Liquor stores were closed and beer
distributors.
Wow. My entire childhood, they were not. No liquor stores, no beer distributors. And you couldn't buy a car either for some reason on a Sunday. Like, Pennsylvania has some weird laws.
I remember one time I was in Georgia, I think, and I went into like a gas station, you know, like traveling, then grab 12 or whatever. And it's all like the whole like freezer is all chained up and shit. I'm like, what the fuck is this, dude? It's not, it's, you know, it's like 6 o'clock at night. You're like, it's Sunday, man. What are you talking about? It's like, it's Sunday. Jesus wouldn't want this.
Jesus did the whole water into wine thing. Like, he liked to drink on Sunday.
He was a
have a beer producer. With Jesus. I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure that's a thing that you could do.
Yeah. I think we talked about years ago when the first Shazam came out, because it takes place in Philly, and they go by, they have him like do his like grown up thing, and he goes buys a six pack from like a convenience store. Like, that would never happen here. You can't do that. So dumb. All right. Well, we won't get into the fact that the world's on fire, America specifically, but there was, we'll talk video games. That's lighter fare. Maybe.
Sure.
Yeah. The news I have isn't terrible, so. Earl, actually, the one that brought this to my attention first. Yesterday, Xbox put up a new app on the Xbox, Retro Classics. And it's a collection of 61 games. Mostly, I think they're all old Activision games for the most part. Up on Game Pass. You have to go through this specific app, but 61 like old Atari 2600 games. There's maybe a PlayStation game on there. Some old Sierra point-and-click adventure games. Warrior 2 for PC, I think, is on there. It's like a weird collection of games, but
I looked at the list.
Yeah, it's a weird
list. Like, I don't know, it's free or whatever, but
yes.
I think I would try Pitfall just because I have like the vaguest of memories of playing that when I was very little, so like I would want to like check that out again. I'm assuming there's no achievements to this though, or is there?
There are. So,
wow.
not for individual games. So there's achievements tied to the app. So like as soon as you play a game, pop an achievement. And then there are, the cool thing about it is that they have set up challenges for some games. So what was that? What was that Nintendo?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Like the really quick, like.
Remix?
Yes.
Yeah.
So there's these challenges on. Not all the games have them. I think there's like 20 or so. And there's specific challenges. Do weird things with the game, and you try and set a high score doing that, and then it goes against everything. So like tennis, which is a really simple game, like the challenge there is just like see how long you can volley it back and forth. But there are other ones like, all right, so, well, there's a game I like, Beam Rider, that they have the Atari 2600 version on there. And that game, normal way that game works is there's five lanes, you press left, right, you go in the lane, you shoot the spaceships that are coming down and try to avoid, you know, getting shot yourself or other obstacles coming down. Well, the challenge has, like, it's set up so that you automatically move. You're automatically moving left to right. But to move the other way, you have to shoot. And you shoot by pressing left. So if you press left, it'll shoot a line up the lane you're in, and you'll start moving right. And then to move from right to left, you have to press the right button so you move back that way. It's not how the game is normally played. It makes it quite difficult to play. So it's like a cool little like weird way to play that game and earn a challenge. And there's leaderboards for the base games. There's leaderboards for those challenges. You can set up your own challenges, I guess. You can challenge other people. It's a neat idea. Jeff, you said you would try it out, but you haven't tried it out yet.
No, yeah, I haven't tried it out. I mean, it's free. I might as well. I'm always, I don't think that era holds up particularly great, but like, you know.
Yeah, so the one thing I'll say, like getting into the game takes, like the app loads up, it's fine. There's just some weird things about the app is like, you go, let's say you pick a boxing, which is like one of the Atari games. You press A to like look at it. It give you like a little blurb on what the game is. And there's, you can like look at leaderboards and what the challenges are. But normally when you press B, right, that's the, I think that's the far right button, the red one, B. When you press that, what do you guys think normally would happen in a game? Like,
start?
A would start it, but art. B would move you back to the previous menu, right?
Well, like, yeah. I'm just trying to imagine what the old fucked up control scheme is, but yeah.
Well, yeah, like, so you're just using like a normal Xbox controller, and you move into the you're still on the menu. Like, you've just gone to the games tab, you select the game you want to play, and then there's a box that says play, and you can select that. But if you press B, you expect to go back to the main selection of games. It takes you back to the main menu. Like the main,
that's
main,
weird.
The first menu it drops into. Like, there's no layer of the menu. It's just, it drops all the way back to the beginning. So if you're looking at all the games, like, I hope you pick the game you want to play first, because otherwise you have
make
to
sure you're correct.
The entire thing again. Yeah. The other thing I don't like about it is these challenges. Like, you know, there are medals associated with them. That's fine. I don't have any problem with going, oh, if you get 10 points, it's a bronze medal. If you get 50 points, it's a silver medal. No issue there. It's this leaderboard thing, though, that's great. I think having, like, a leaderboard is cool. But the thing you want the most on a leaderboard, especially with challenges, is you want to be able to jump back quickly into it and do it again. Especially if these are quick challenges, it needs to reload the entire game again. And it's like a good 20, 30 second wait between each try when it should be instant. So that's kind of annoying. But it's a neat idea, I guess. It's there. There are weird ads all for Ant Stream Arcade, too, on it. that's like a another app that like, but that's like a monthly service. I think if you pay whatever, I think it's like $30 and you get it for the year, you can play all the games they have on their service. So I don't know if they're partnered with them or what, but
yeah, I think I saw that earlier when I came across this earlier today. They mentioned that there's something about ants.
Yeah, that, I mean, whatever. I have at it. People are enjoying the old Atari 2600 games. Go for it. I like that MechWarrior and MechWarrior 2 are up there. Those games don't hold up well, but it's neat that they're there. I hope they add more like older Activision games in, but more not like old Activision. Like, we don't need more 2600 games. But like, give us like some PlayStation era games, PlayStation 2.
I know, man.
I was thinking about this though, Jeff, and I looked at the Activision like they licensed so much of their output in the 2000s. So I don't know how many original games they have, like outside of like Tony Hawk, which is licensed, but
yeah.
Give us that shit. Put the original Tony Hawk games up there on this service. That would be neat.
I'll take them. I mean, I would imagine the problem with that is the music and stuff, but
yeah. Sucks. I think we all have PlayStations. Did any of you sign up for that PlayStation Stars loyalty program? Which is,
I thought you were automatically enrolled into it.
You might be. I don't think I ever. You know, I don't know if I did or not. It's on my app. Like, it says I'm level 4 or whatever.
Woohoo!
They're killing that.
I don't think I ever looked at it, except when I like first noticed that it existed.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard, like when you have like Microsoft Rewards, which is so great. It gives you like actual stuff.
Yeah,
I like if Sony were to come up, I would be way more interested in. I'd probably use my PS5 a lot more if I could get paid for using it.
Yeah,
which is how Microsoft Rewards works.
I think the only way you could get points here was by like spending money. So it was like buying games, which both of us do the rewards points for Microsoft, and like you just gotta like search on Bing. It's not a great search engine, but I could do it a few times a day.
You already ruined Google. I mean, you might as well use Bing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair.
And then like you get rewards for you said you popped in Balatro to get the points for playing a PC game.
Yeah.
Play a console game, you get points for that. You play a Game Pass game, you get points for that every day. And if you do these things daily, like, Tony, you haven't paid for Game Pass in...
Ever.
Forever.
Yeah. I've had Game Pass since it came out. I bought it with rewards to start off, and I have purchased every month of Game Pass that I've ever used with rewards points. I have not spent a dime.
Yeah, you can definitely earn. I think it's like 30 some thousand or something for 3 months of Game Pass. You can earn that pretty easily.
Yeah, it takes about a little over 2 months to get that many if you try hard enough.
And then
without buying anything.
Yeah, and if you buy games, you get extra points. So.
Yeah. Which of course I do that too. So it kind of snowballs. The interesting thing is when you use your rewards points to get money on the Microsoft Store, and then use that money to buy a game, and then get rewards points for it. It's so so weird.
Yeah. Yes, because like you got you redeemed it for the Xbox credit. Cash or whatever, and then you buy a game and they're like, you earn rewards points.
I have no idea why they haven't fixed that, but I'm not going to complain.
Yeah, no complaining.
Rewards for my rewards, sure.
Yes, but
this day and age, anything that benefits the consumer is a win.
Yeah. And right now I think Microsoft might be the only one that has like a a loyalty points program, because didn't Nintendo kill theirs last year?
Or killing it, or it's not transferring to the Switch, but yeah, Switch 2, I should say. But yes, I was disappointed in that, because that was great, because I think theirs was just a fat. You got something like, I don't know, not 10%, but you got like a percentage of whatever, essentially like a credit card, you got a percentage of whatever you spent back.
Yeah.
So.
Yep, that is gone, and PlayStation Stars is gone, so. Except the Xbox, Microsoft rewards points, but can use it on Xbox. And the last piece that I have here, Earl dropped this in other Discord. Alex Garland is set to direct the live action Elden Ring movie.
Oh my god.
Jeff, thoughts?
Well, I don't know what to think of it. It seems like an odd fit all around, and it's A24.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know. I did see right before we came on, like someone tweeted, I will bet anyone any amount of money that this movie will never be made. And maybe, but also, I don't know. A24 seems to be a pretty effective studio. And I guess, you know, they have a good relationship with Garland. I think they were happy. Like, Civil War was their first big budget movie, and I think it did well, right? But he would need probably at least the budget of Civil War to make an Elden Ring movie, so that'd be like a huge step for A24. But the whole thing sounds nuts to me. Like, I don't know. I mean, I guess out of curiosity, I would watch it.
Story?
Yeah, there is. I you know what? I'd probably watch it just so I would finally know what the story is. But but yeah, I don't know. It's maybe they could pull it off. If it comes out, I'm gonna be curious about it for sure. But
yeah, you know, I think
it's not something I was waiting for.
It's definitely one that's like, if it comes out, I'll be interested in seeing what this thing is, but does it ever come out?
I'm not as skeptical as that. Like, I don't know, I could see it. Like, A24 has got some ambitions, you know? They keep trying to do bigger and bigger budget stuff, and so I could see them doing this because they would know it would probably make money if done well, but it's wild to think, but if it ever happens, I will see it probably.
I'm fascinated. Again, I don't think anybody's surprised by the announcements of video game movies after the success of Mario and Minecraft this year. But yeah, Elden Ring, it's a very specific type of game, and you do need a decent budget, and A24 is not that studio usually, or distributor. They are kind of more small indie. And I don't mean any of this dismissive, but they're not Warner or Disney who's like, we're going to throw $20 million at a movie.
Yeah, that's what Elden
Ring's a big fantasy-driven franchise.
That's what I'm saying, is like Civil War was the first movie that they spent an actual budget on, and I guess they were happy with, you know, what it made. And so, like, maybe they're trying to push it even further. Like, yeah, we could play with the big boys, you know? Like, I could see that, like, being the thinking. But, yeah, I don't know. It's crazy.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how that comes out. I wonder if, because didn't George R. R. Martin, like, help write some of the lore for it as well?
Yeah, yeah.
So.
When he wasn't writing Winds of Winter.
I mean, he's still not.
George.
that book is never coming. it'll be one of those things where, sadly, he will die, and then it'll be like Michael Crichton, where Michael Crichton books are still coming out to this day, where they just take his notes and do something else.
Like, you look at the other like fantasy writers, like I like Brandon Sanderson, and he's like writing like.
But he's a whole 1500
page novels like every year.
Yeah, because he has like a new book every 5 minutes. Like, yeah. He's writing autographs and he's writing books in between that.
Yeah. Stuff. Well, maybe that's what he's doing during the autographs. He's literally like writing part of his like draft.
Meanwhile, George R. R. Martin can't like get anything out the door.
No.
Well, I mean, I guess he gets lots of other stuff out the door, just not what people want. So he has another Game of Thrones spinoff coming on HBO at some point. So.
Is it one? Or two? I think there's one this year, right? The egg and thing.
Yes, the Onion Knight. So.
Something like that, I don't know.
Yeah. It's like a prequel to the prequel. I don't know. All right, that's it for what I have wise. Or was there anything else you saw?
I haven't. No, that. I thought there was other this week, but you folks continue to chit-chat, and I will see if anything important pops up.
Yeah, so it's Warhammer week, I guess. There was some Warhammer. That's a piece of news that came out, I guess. There was a Warhammer showcase today.
They
announced a bunch of Warhammer games. Including the next game from Alcat, which is they did Rogue Trader. So they have a new game coming out called Dark Heresy that looks pretty good. Bolt Gun 2. I didn't play the first Bolt Gun. Tony, this may interest you if you're still playing Total War Warhammer. They have a new
forever
something new coming out called Tides of Torment
DLC.
Yeah.
Pack.
Yeah. Maybe like a new faction or something.
Like I love Total War Warhammer 3. I played it a lot. I have a lot of DLC. I need a new game. At this point, they've released so much DLC already. That's great. It's great to have it all. It's awesome. I want something fresh and new. I was kind of hoping they would announce the rumored 40K Total War game.
That would be cool.
But they did not.
I guess they're adding in like a Horde type mode to Space Marine 2, which you didn't really like, right?
You go into that game, it's very melee focused and very slow. It doesn't play how I like those games to play.
There's a Warhammer racing game called Speed Freaks. I don't know what's sure. going on.
Sure.
It's weird. yeah. Like some of this just seems like it was just like filler shit that they were like, oh, we're re-releasing the original Dawn of War. It's not like a,
that sounds like a made up title.
It's real. There's three of them actually. They're real time strategy games in Warhammer 40K.
It just amazes me how much Warhammer there is.
Just
so pervasive as like a franchise, and when you're like thinking about big franchises of gaming, you don't really think Warhammer off the top of your head.
No,
it's like so. It's weird. Like, there's a ton of it, but it is weirdly like. I guess it has to do well enough that they keep making these games.
Yeah. I mean, most of the games are like B tier and C tier. Yeah. Like, they're not ones you're like, oh, this is a game of the year level game.
And you know, they don't need to be. That's the guy defending something he don't know. But
yeah, no, we need more like B and C tier games that are like good games, but you know that they're filler games. You can go hit them up when it's less busy of a year.
I'm just like I feel like I should know more like Warhammer lore, like if it's that. But it all like what. What I know of it all seems like cribbed from other stuff and so like generic and awful. It's odd to me that it's so popular.
And Have you ever looked into like trying to start on any of that, Tony? Like, because there's like all, there's novels and
There are novels and there's just so much.
Yeah, I was like, all right, maybe I'll look into like 40K. I'll read like what's the book to start with? And they're like, well, there's like 150 different books, and here's like 6 different starting points. Like, that's not helpful. Where do I start at? It's like, you don't start with the first book because that one doesn't make sense unless you've read all this other stuff. Or, all right, I'm just not.
Yeah, yeah. I get to start a new fantasy series. I'm good.
Where does the universe? What is it first? I guess, is it a video game? I thought it was a tabletop thing, but
I think it started with the tabletop stuff, and it kind of was the original. Was like riffing off of J.R.R. Tolkien stuff.
Okay, because I mostly know it.
And then they kind of,
paint the minis.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a miniature game.
So. It was like, I want Lord of the Rings to really be about war. And that's kind of where it all came from.
Yep. And then they made like the sci-fi version of it.
Yeah.
Which honestly has like, when you get like the little bits of from the games we have played, like there's some like cool shit going on there.
Yeah. I don't understand any of it. Like when I'm playing in the game, it's kind of fun, but
they're talking about like the Imperium and like there's an emperor and it's all like really wild stuff. And then like you start digging into it and it's like, this is way too complicated. They don't have an easy onboarding method for you. So Earl, you find any other news?
The only other thing I could think of, and it's news, but it's not news because it's nothing as of the moment, is I think Neil Druckmann confirmed that Naughty Dog is working on a second game in addition to
the space game.
Yes, which I don't remember the name of.
Naughty Dog in Space.
Call it
Spacey Dog. The Last of Space.
Yeah, what was that one?
Naughty Dog space game is that intergalactic. I was close.
Okay. It just sounded right, but it just sounded like, no, that's definitely a movie.
Yeah, Interstellar is the movie. Yeah, Intergalactic, the Heretic Project. Heretic Prophet, I'm sorry. Yeah. No one's going to remember that title.
It's so like Europa Universalis. It's like a strategy game. Are we sure it's not a strategy?
Yeah, I mean, maybe.
Maybe it's got the strategy minigame in it.
Did you guys see that The Last of Us TV show is going to be 4 seasons now instead of 3?
No, I did not see that.
How fucking long was part 2, man?
Not that long.
And how fuck? That's insane.
It's not part 2, it's part 2.
Forever. let me tell you how long it was, Jeff.
He also directed the latest episode of The Last of Us.
Yes.
Which was good. I thought it was good. I don't know.
So it's double the length of the original game.
Jeez.
But they're tripling it up for the show.
Yeah, 3 seasons to adapt the second game.
I don't understand how that works, though. I guess more so from the point of view that, as far as I can tell, this will cover like half of that game. How do you stretch out the story even more?
I mean, it is true that next week is the last a 7-episode season, but still, it's just like, oh, you guys have a hit on your hands. You're gonna try to milk this as much as you
can. Yeah.
You can.
So, 2 things here. So, 1, what do you think the odds are that the other game Naughty Dog's working on is The Last of Us Part 3?
I don't think so.
No? Okay.
I think he expressed he didn't want to
do anymore. I'm sure he doesn't want to.
But is he doing it?
Right. Like
what does Sony want to do?
we want this. Or HBO going, we need more.
We can't get to that season 5 unless you make more games. I'm just saying. 2 only stretches for 3 seasons.
And Jeff, I mean, I guess spoilers for the show, but where are they in the show currently?
I'm trying to think of the last thing that actually happened. And it's like Ellie and her friend are in Seattle trying to fucking go kill these people. But this last episode, the entire episode was a flashback episode where Joel was back. And, you know, it was kind of showing how their relationship developed after his big lie to her. I thought it was a really good episode. I'm usually, like, annoyed by flashback episodes, and I was, like, at first at this one, I was like, oh, come on, dude, you're taking us away from whatever the fuck's going on. But by the end of it, I was like, ah, that was maybe the best episode of the season. It's just literally, like, the episode is a series of birthdays. Like, her, you know, here she's 15, here she's 16, and, like, what he did for her on her birthday. And it kind of builds up to them getting into this confrontation about what he, you know, the lie he told her at the end of the first game.
So that happens in the game as well. It's not all together.
Yeah, they said that like they just put it all together in one episode, whereas in the game it was you know, throughout. So where am I like in the game? I have no idea. It doesn't feel like too much. I don't know. Like I'm enjoying the season. Like it's not a show that I like every week. I'm like, oh, I can't wait to see the new episode. What's gonna happen? But like most of the episodes when I end up watching them, I'm like, yeah, that's pretty good.
So the structure I know of the show is different because they've introduced Abby, right?
Oh, they introduced her right away, yeah.
And you're getting both sides too, right? Like there's like Abby scenes and Ellie scenes.
No, I haven't seen Abby since maybe the first episode. Like it's pretty well stuck with Ellie since then, so maybe what they're gonna do is switch to Abby.
That's how the game
next season.
So yeah. The game was the first half was Ellie. Well, it was like, you know, you have the incident with Joel up in the mountains,
yeah,
and then sets Ellie on the journey that's happening. And then the second half of The Last of Us Part 2, the game, you play as Abby.
That's probably they probably threw a little bit more Abby in the beginning of this one just so you would know what the fuck is going on more. But yeah, I could imagine that being a cool surprise in the game. Like, oh, this person was totally justified in what they did.
And then there's like an epilogue. So maybe that's what maybe they're going to expand out the epilogue.
Yes,
well, because like there's time that goes on from like where the end happens, and then
they can flesh it out.
Yeah, they can flesh it out. Like it's quick. It's like one level, but you could span that out with some interactions and show what happens in between that time. That's interesting. I ended up somehow getting Last of Us 2 Reddit fed to me. I don't watch the show and I don't love the game, but I mean the Reddit board for The Last of Us Part 2 is fucking atrocious. They are a nasty group of people. Like they just they keep posting pictures of Bella Ramsey. Is that the girl that plays Ellie?
Looking
awful.
Yeah, and they're just like awful about her. It's so bad.
I have no idea why it's in my Reddit feed, but it's everywhere, and it looks awful.
I clicked on it once to be like, oh, like what is this? What is this nightmare? And now it just keeps getting fed to me all the time.
And you know what? You know, sucks is I think she's really good on the show.
Oh, I'm sure she is. Like, it's this same group of people that probably bitched about the game as well. Now
surprising, surprising.
Right? So. And that was it for news, Earl?
Yeah, I think so. I think we're in that interesting period of time where we are 2 weeks from a console launch, 15 days from the big summer blowout. So it's probably going to be a very quiet week. Wait, did we talk about, was it Microsoft announced? What game is, Hellblade is coming to PlayStation 5 this summer? Is that last week?
No, I don't think we mentioned that.
Yes, but that
I did hear that they were looking at bringing games to Switch 2.
Yeah, and I think that's been around for a while. I don't know what the hesitation is between that or Nintendo in terms of like not announcing it, but hopefully we'll see soon.
Yeah, maybe they're just not ready yet. But yeah, so I mean, the Xbox games have been doing good on PlayStation from what everyone has said. I think Xbox had the top four selling games in the previous month.
So weird.
Yeah. Very strange. And then if you include like Activision and like Call of Duty was like also on that list, so like further down the top 10. I guess one other thing. Did you guys catch the Randy Pitchford out there stepping in shit again?
No. I'm so surprised. This has never happened before.
I am so surprised that somebody was somehow able to take the heat off of Nintendo for the nonsense about pricing. But good on him, I guess.
Yeah. That's so dumb.
Yeah, so somebody asked him on, I think it was on Twitter, hey, Randy, you know, please don't make Borderlands 4 $80. You know, that's not cool, man, or something to that effect. He went, one, I don't set the prices, and two, if you're a real fan, you would find a way.
That sounds like something he'd say.
I mean, it was something he said, but and listen, I enjoy Borderlands, but Borderlands is also not what I would necessarily call, oh my gosh, I need that franchise to be like this condescending about it. So kudos to him.
I'm not paying $80 for a new Borderlands game. That's not happening.
What if it's a slow month?
Still not paying. I'm playing something old at that point.
I think I'm like on the same boat as Tony. Like I think we both might have finished the first one.
Yeah.
Played some of the second one.
Yeah, and then the third one was just like, okay, well, I've played this game before, and now the whole attitude of everybody around me is just shitty, and I don't want to hear it, and it sucks. So I'm gonna stop here.
We tried to play Tony. We all tried.
Yeah,
I
think we played some together too. But like, yeah. It's like not fun, and like I don't know. There's this element of cooperative games. It's always fun to play with your friends, but like the game should elevate that experience, and just didn't feel like that. I mean,
I'm on the opposite side. I adore Borderlands. I'm a huge fan of it. I will pick up for, I think, Famously. I don't know if this is before or after. I own Borderlands 3 twice. I owned them on PlayStation and on Xbox, you know, before. So, like, I'm a huge fan. But again, not something I need to go out of my way to spend $80 on. Yeah, I don't know. He's a character.
That he is. We actually have played some games though, I believe, so some new ones too. Jeff and I have both played a bunch of Doom. I think I played much more Doom than Jeff has, but
Yeah, where are you at? What chapter?
I played chapter 20 today. So
oh, geez.
22 chapters. Yeah. I thought I could finish it today. I was like, oh, it's like I only have 3 chapters left. And then chapter 20 took me like a little over an hour.
Yeah, I think
they're starting to get long. Some of them are getting long. Rode a dragon.
Yes.
Which the dragon kind of like just operates as like a plane that has machine guns on its back, and you can like dogfight. Although the other ships that you're chasing after don't shoot back at you, but you can't chase them down. I piloted a giant doom guy mech thing. That wasn't great, but it was interesting, I guess, for the few minutes of that level. It's fun though. It's a fun Doom game.
Yeah, I agree. I like it quite a bit. I think all these new Doom games, I think, just do such a great job of capturing what the old Doom games were, and then somehow like making it feel like a modern game, but without like betraying like what is the spirit of Doom, you know? And I think this one might be my favorite so far, just because I really love all the bullshit that you like. The shield, I think, is very fun. I don't know how you feel about the shield, but I really like it.
Great. I love the shield.
Yeah.
It's really dumb. Like, it's like basically like you're this big behemoth, and you have like a Captain America type shield, like where you throw it out and it like just rips through enemies and comes back to you.
Yeah, and you sometimes need to do that with some of the enemies, because if you just try to shoot them straight up, they're gonna be fucking you up too much. So you kind of hold, and it's like sawing away at them for like a few seconds while you can get some shots in.
Yeah.
But then you
you want to use it on like fodder enemies to just clear them out. And
that
then,
too, yeah, that's fun.
And then then the bigger enemies, like what you were saying, Jeff, where it's like you throw it into it and it like has like a buzzsaw and it just kind of stays in them for a bit, and it'll hold them there so you can kind of like strafe around them and shoot them. I think visually that stuff is great too, because as you're shooting them, like pieces of their flesh are just flying off. So like you're like shooting like a revenant, and all of a sudden he just has no like, he has no thigh meat anymore. It's just, it's gone. It's just down to the bone. It's just like hanging there. Kind of gross. Like the visuals they do are very intricate and fast.
I think the graphics are pretty impressive too, just in terms of like, it just feels so smooth. Like you can tell like this is pretty, I don't know, like good graphics, and it just handles it just fine.
Yep.
And then the shield is a, like, I think this is new to the series. It's like, it introduces the concept of like parrying. And I think that's neat too, because like you could only parry certain like attacks coming at you that have to be like green. So you have to like look for green attacks, run towards those fucking, you know.
Yeah, because you
and then parry them.
You parry them and it'll like shoot the green power bolt or whatever it is back at the enemies, or, you know.
Yeah, so when you're fighting Ganon in Zelda or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's a fun addition. Like, I think like all these like little like tweaks that they added, I think are pretty engaging, and I welcome them. Like, I did see some people bitching, like, I just want Doom 2016, like, just make it Doom. Like, I just want to be able to like run around and shoot. And I'm like,
you can.
Okay. I mean, you can, right? You can't. I mean, you could do that. Also, you could go play Doom 2016. Like, I don't know. I think that everything they added here is pretty fun. Like, and I like the flying levels too.
I enjoy being on the dragon. It's so dumb. The whole game is like super stupid. It's everything crazy about it doesn't make any sense. Why are we in, like, because it's not even the Middle Ages, because they all have like we have guns. Doom guy has guns, but also like the Revenants have like machine guns on. Like it's not like you're technologically superior to them. You're in this weird like sci-fi universe that also has castles and dragons and horse-drawn carts and shit. Doesn't make any sense. It's really stupid. I don't know how you feel about it. I did think, and I kind of still feel this way now, 20 chapters in, there's a bit too much story going on.
I mean, for Doom, it should be like the bare fucking minimum, I think. Yeah. But I straight up like skip any, like I do not
care. Of course you do.
Does not matter.
I feel like we had this conversation last week. Yeah, like Jeff's gonna skip the story.
And still never pressed the button to even see if you could.
Yeah, absolutely. You could skip all that shit. I mean, I don't care about the story of Doom whatsoever. I mean, it took like Expedition 3 story, and I tried to ignore that. Like, that's how good story has to be in game for me to pay attention. It's like I have to try to ignore it, and it's good. Like, oh no, wait, this is actually kind of drawing me in. Doom is not going to ever be that. So, I don't know. I do so like all
you're just in it for the killing and the visuals.
Yeah. It's fucking Doom. What is there to know? There's fucking demons. Kill them. Like,
there's a king fucking, and a princess. Like, some demon lords. I don't, none of it makes sense.
Some fucking heavy metal and tear shit up. I also really love, how the levels, like, it seemed like very straightforward, like, you know, just kind of run through, but like if you really like look at the map or just I guess explore, like there's secrets all over the fucking place. I miss 90% of them, but I just love that, like, very often you can like look around a corner and find a secret, you know. And there's little puzzles throughout the whole every level, so I really enjoy it.
Yeah, there's some neat, like, where you need to, you know, you need to find a way to open an area so you can throw your shield into it to either, you know, open up a new gate, or if it's like a blue glowing thing, it like powers up something. Like, yeah, like there's some cool like environmental puzzles around. There's also, I don't know how far in you are, Jeff, but at some point, it stops just being, never stops being like hell demons and stuff like that. But you do end up in like a kind of a Lovecraftian underworld at some point. So there's like giant squid monsters in the sky. Visually, that stuff is all really, really cool.
Yeah.
You actually fight the squid monster, but like just having like this giant Cthulhu type thing up in the sky, and all of a sudden it's like a greenish haze instead of the red that you've been seeing. It's a neat looking game.
Yeah. You guys aren't playing it. Me and Chris are the only ones playing it.
Not a huge Doom person, but this one looks interesting to me. I may give it a shot.
Have you played any? You
know, Price is Right.
Have you played any of like the new ones?
I have not played Doom 2016, but interestingly, my son played through it in its entirety like last week.
Oh yeah.
While I was sitting here, so I watched him play through it. I'm not a big, like, it doesn't do a whole lot for me. But
I think that the
I kind of like the idea of the shield. When Chris was talking about this shield, I think that's kind of fun.
It's fun, man. The shield.
Well, the one thing that they added in this new iteration of Doom since 2016 is like, it's before it was like you would find like health packets or ammo packets on the ground, like, and now it's all kind of tied to killing enemies, and killing them in certain ways, like, so like, oh, I'm low on health, so I have to do this to get more health back, or I need shields, so I'm gonna shoot them from like a range attack or something. Or I need ammo, so I need to do like a glory kill. So you wait till they're purple and then you kind of punch them. I like that because it makes it way more interactive than like a lot of shooters. I just kind of like hold back and take people out from afar, and this kind of like makes you move in and out of combat.
Yeah, it feels more like an action game or something because of that. And like, it still has all the shit on the ground and all that, but like the enemies do so much damage to you like so quickly that it's always like this very intense experience. But you're constantly like, if you're killing, they like almost always drop health. Like Chris said, like, you know, certain ways it's kind of more guaranteed. Like if you stun them and they turn purple and then you go fucking melee them, then they're going to drop a bunch of health and like refill your health. But like you're constantly going from like 100% health down to 14% back to fucking 75%. Like you are constantly going up and down in your health, and it makes it feel pretty intense.
Yeah. And like one move, like one way or the other, can like either kill you or can like, now you're fully back on board and like your ammo, which was depleted, is filled up all the way. Your health is filled up, and so like you're back to being super strong again.
And more often than not, yeah, you are refilling. But it's just like you just always feel like you're on the brink. Like, geez, man, I'm running around with fucking 5% health. Fucking please, something die.
And I didn't like the boss fights in Eternal, but there's some good ones in this game, I think. I just fought one in chapter 20 that like it's this like floating guy, and he sits in the middle. He has a shield which you have to deplete a little bit over time, and as he's sitting there in the middle, he's shooting out these giant gold like knives that you have to dodge, kind of like a bullet hell type thing. And then he has like a second phase where he's like laying bombs all over the maps. You're trying to avoid them while shooting him. And then he's bringing out like little minions and you got to take them out as well. It's like a really cool boss fight. Unlike like in Eternal, there was just ones that I did not enjoy. But everything in this, I'm like, this is super fun.
The one stuck out, you know, just when you mentioned it just now, I don't even know if you really consider it a boss fight, but I just thought it was neat as hell. Or I don't know, I thought it was just fucking badass Doom shit, where like, get on this turret, and then this fucking like 100-foot tall demon is like walking into the fucking arena towards you, and you gotta fill up the turret, like the turret,
yeah,
so you can fire like a bolt, like this, you know, missile basically, whatever. And oh, three times before he reaches you.
Yeah.
I thought that, just because like, it's just like epic. Like, you're like, geez, man, this fucking thing. And like, you know, if you don't fully charge the turret three times and hit him three times, you're dead. Like, so it's kind of like a gimmick, and it's not like really hard or anything, which is fucking awesome. Like, I don't know. I thought that was cool. I enjoy it, man. I kind of want to go retry like the other ones after this, like the last two ones.
I still think, like, and we'll see how where I end up on this, but I still think 2016 for me is the best one. I didn't like the changes they made with Eternal, but having a blast with this one is great.
Remember, I did like Eternal, but I like purposely stopped playing it because like, the game was great. You know what? I'm done. I don't want to like.
I'm gonna stop while I still like it.
Yeah. you know, Doom 2016. I don't think I've played it since then, so I really don't remember it well. And I'm having so much fun. I mean, this is sometimes frustrating. It's very like. I was playing this in Oblivion at the same time, and like, I would play like a level of Doom, and I'm just be like, "Geez, that was exhausting." Okay, I'll check out Oblivion for a second, and then like, I would play Oblivion for like 8 hours and not go back to, like, I'd go days without going back to Doom. But now that I'm done with Oblivion, I'm fully on board. Until
when is Not Raiding? Next week?
Oh shit, it is, isn't it?
It's end of May, right?
Yeah, it's like May 30th. Wow, I didn't realize it was that close. Cool, I guess.
You'll finish Doom and
sure.
When you mentioned Oblivion, I was gonna circle back to it, but you finished the main quest of Oblivion.
I mean, I finished a lot of things, but yeah, finished the main quest last night. Kind of like midnight last night. I'm like, I should be in bed, but I kept playing.
What was your take on the main quest of Oblivion?
It's cool.
You're really selling it.
No, I liked it.
Does the final cutscene, does it look cool or does it look ridiculous? Just wondering. Because I remember being wowed by it in 2016 or 2006 when I didn't know anything. I'm guessing.
Can I say
if it looks like in my brain, it probably looks pretty ridiculous now.
Can I say spoilers so that we know that we're on the same page for what
it's a 20-year-old game.
Yeah. So it was like you go with the king. He has him. And he realizes the only way to kill this fucking evil thing is to fucking sacrifice himself. And he turns into a giant drag you're talking about. And you just watch these. Yes, like,
that is exactly what I'm talking about.
It looked all right. Watch him go at it. It's cool. Like it's the same thing I was talking about with Doom, where it's just like, damn, this thing is fucking huge, you know? But like, it was kind of odd or janky or whatever, because I've been playing the whole game in third person, and it like switched to first person where you have to stand there and you can't move. I'm like, what the fuck? Why did it like? I'm like the whole time trying to switch back to the perspective that I've been playing in.
Yeah,
and I just first person to watch this happen. I was like, that's weird. Why couldn't it be either way? But yeah, I thought the main quest was. I thought it was cool. Like I generally like. I think the game has, you can obviously tell it's old.
Yeah.
But I think charm, and there's so much to do. Like, you could really lose yourself into that game. I do have issues with it, for sure. And
Leveling
leveling system.
It doesn't make any sense.
It's, like, it sucks, because, like, I'm going to keep playing this. I'm going to go back down and do the Dark Brotherhood, and I went to go do that, and it's like, oh yeah, you need to be like, it's like a very hard lock or something that I had to get into this guy's house to kill him, and it was like a very hard lock, and I'm like, well, I don't know, I can't do that, yeah. So like, I went and bought a spell because I'm a spellcaster, and there's a spell, open hard lock, and then it says you don't have enough magicka to even cast the spell. I was like, fuck, man, I'd have to level up a couple times. I'm like, you know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna see if I have any equipment that increases your intelligence. And I did. But it wasn't enough. But then I was like, oh wait, you can enchant stuff. And so I put on some boots that I had, went and go and enchanted them, and I finally had enough magicka, like enough intelligence to cast the spell. And then it's like, your skill level is not high enough to use the spell. It's like you need your alteration skill to be higher, and the only way to do that is like to like use a bunch of alteration spells or pick a billion locks. And I'm like, well, that means I would have to play the game like significantly more to just advance in this one quest that I want to do. And I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to play this much more of this. I got a lot out of it. I did like all of the Shivering Isles and all that too, which I for sure I'd never played.
I've never played Shivering Isles. How was that?
It's cool. It's like drugged out like Oblivion, and they got their issues there, and you get to choose the place that you can choose to be in. There's a mania house, and what the fuck was the other one? It's like either you want dark and gloomy, like, or like just the super drugged out. And there's this guy running this place, and it's, you know, he's clearly insane, and you know, you get to be a duke of you choose if you play it enough, and doing so gives you you get your portion of the palace, or it's, you know, you got like a baller pet if you play through that quest there. I had fun. Like I stumbled into the Shivering Isles because I was just playing this game kind of odd. Like, I wasn't trying to go through quests and shit. I would just be like, I need gold. So I look up, like, how do you get gold? So it's like, that's how I was playing the game. I was like, I want a cool sword. What's a cool sword? And, but like, somehow accidentally I fell in the Shivering Isles and I was like, well, I should check this out because I'm, you know, I for sure have never played any of this. It's significant. Like, you could spend probably, you know, 20 to 40 hours in just the Shivering Isles. So,
cool.
Yeah, it's worth checking out if you've never played that.
I do like that all the DLC is in there because part of the main quest is you have to like go kill these vampires.
Yeah.
And one of them hit me and like, I don't know. It said it infected me with something. I was like, I'm fine. And then like three days later in the game, it's like, people are talking to you. You look really pale. It's like,
God damn it. No,
but I still didn't think anything of it, Tony. And then the next night I rested, they were like, you get like an image of like you, your flesh falling off. And it's like, oh shit, that seems bad. I go outside and you just start like losing health immediately. It's like, God. I guess I'm a vampire.
Daytime, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was so lucky because like, the warning that they give you that you have that just pops up real quick on the screen as you're playing. It's like you could miss it and not realize, or just like you forgot about it or whatever.
Yeah.
I saw that thing pop up and I'm like, that seems bad. And I started like, oh shit, fuck yeah. I got like, they're like, you got 3 days, you're gonna turn into a vampire. I'm like, I'm gonna finish this mission real quick because there's more vampires in it. Yeah. Like, I fucking took I think you had to use, like, a poison potion, right? To cure it?
You can use a cure disease, I think, or something like that. And that'll do it, but I didn't do that, so now I'm a vampire. Losing health work. Out in the light.
Good job.
That but, sucks.
Yeah, it's like, oh, shit. So, like, I'm, like, using my restoration to, like, get me enough so I can get to another Oblivion Gate or whatever.
You know what's funny, Chris, is like you were messaging about this mission.
Yeah.
And I caught up to it relatively quickly after you started messaging me about it. And I was going to text you like, hey man, beware if you get hit by the vampires. Like, but I was like, ah, he knows. Like, I just left it. I was seriously gonna message you.
No, because like I text Jeff, I'm like, yo, did you do this like vampire mission? I'm like stuck in this cave and I can hear the other two fucking vampires, but I couldn't find out how to get to.
Yeah, problem.
There's like a rope off on the side.
It's literally like, like as soon as I found it, I'm like, how did I wander around this tiny cave and not see that forever? But like, yeah, it was funny because like when you first started it up, I'm like, I don't think I did that. Like, I was off fucking around in the Shivering Isles and I was actually stuck in the Shivering Isles.
Than you.
I was stuck in the Shivering Isles trying to get back to the mainland. And, like, it was really pissing me off. And I finally got back. And as soon as I did the first check on the mainland, it was that quest. And I was like, oh, dude, I found it. I'm like, I'm having the same problem. Dude, you figured this shit out? But I literally meant to, like, because I noticed I got hit. I was like, dude, I think I was going to tell you. I think you might want to cure that. And I just didn't see it.
There's only a few ways to cure vampires in the fucking game.
It gets really complicated if you let it get all the way through.
Yeah, you gotta address it. Yeah, you gotta address it before it's a thing.
But there is an easy way, but it's part of DLC. So in the original game, if you got it, it was just a fucking nightmare. Like, I guess I'm only playing at night, which you're stronger at night as a vampire, but in the day, you're useless. One of the DLC packs is like this thing called Deep Water Hollow or something. It's all the way at the bottom of the map. It's a sunken fort. So you have to dive in the water and you can...
Yeah, I found that place.
Going through there. Yeah. Well, it's a vampire lair. And there's a cure for vampirism in it. So I'm like, how do you cure vampirism? And they're like, it doesn't tell you that's there. I looked it up. I was like, how do I like, cure vampirism? And it's like, well, there's a couple ways. And like, these are all convoluted. But if you go to this one place on the map, can cure it there because there's these special salts, and then you go to a rejuvenation shrine or whatever, and it'll it'll cure you. And I was like, oh, thank God, because I'm in the middle of a quest where I need to talk to all the leaders of the cities, and they're only available during the day. But I mean, I guess I could technically go into their throne room and just wait until 8 a.m. or whatever for them to go to work, but it does make, like, because you can't sell anything because all the shops are closed, and so just makes, it makes everything in the game really difficult if you're a vampire.
Yeah, no, don't be a vampire. Shit.
Yeah. And it's not, it's weird because I remember getting vampirism in Skyrim, and they don't make it as, like, brutal on you in that game. Like,
in Skyrim, you know, the thing was to become a werewolf, if you could do that.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. Ooh. So yeah. Like, it doesn't hurt you as bad to like, get that there. Where in this, it's like, man, I'm out in the sun, and my health bar is just rapidly draining.
Part of me wants to go play Skyrim now, but I also like feel like I've played Skyrim way more, so it's just, I feel like a retread more than this. This felt like, I know I played some of this, but it's been so long that it is, you know, fun. But part of me wants to do Skyrim again.
The world is great. More populated.
How long has it been since you played Skyrim?
Oh, much, much more recently. Like, whenever they did the latest, whatever, on Xbox, like the, whatever remaster, whatever the fuck.
The anniversary edition.
Maybe. I'd have to look and tell you. But yeah, it was, you know, it was redone.
Like, how many years?
I'd say easily in the last 10, if not the last 5.
Oh, God, no, there's a more recent one than that. I would go back and play.
Yeah, they've released 2 versions on... So they've released one on the Xbox One, and then there's, like, a newer version even after that.
I think I had added, I think I had.
They added a bunch of fan-made content to it, too. There's a bunch of new stuff. Just saying.
I think I did play that. I also bought it on the Switch and played it on the Switch. Yeah. So, like, I played
on the Switch, yeah.
Yeah, I've played a lot of Skyrim, but, like, again, there's so much more that I could have missed. You know what I mean? There's so many things in these games that, like, you can fuck around forever. Maybe at a little slow point coming whenever that happens. Doesn't this year, but maybe I will.
Yeah, I think I may go and play Skyrim at some point again as well, but I think after... Well, I've already played Avowed. I finished Starfield this year, and now I'm playing...
Dude, we've been on, yeah.
I think I need a, like, a Bethesda break.
We keep saying this, but then you're like, hey!
Yeah, I'll play this one, too.
I mean, if you're going to give me Oblivion for free remastered, it's like...
Right?
I kind of have to. It's a beautiful-looking game, though. Like, the visual updates they did to it are great. Like,
yeah.
The actual world of Oblivion is, like, really well done, and this update's really good. So, speaking of updates, Tony, you are playing the new GTA 5 update.
I am. I'm getting pretty close to the end, too. I only have about 10 missions or so left.
Okay.
Yeah. Which I never finished it. I was going back through my achievements, and I hadn't realized. This is the third time I've been trying to play through GTA, because I played through the original on 360, and then I played the relaunch on Xbox One, which I had forgotten about.
Mm-hmm.
And so now I'm playing through the third time. It's so good. It's some of the missions are so much fun. The one where you attack the bank in the small town, when you're like, it ends up surrounded by police, and you're doing it on purpose, and then you walk out and you're all wearing padded armor and, like, you have Gatling guns.
Oh, you're in, like, the behemoth suit type thing.
Yeah. So good. It's so good. You do so many crazy things in this game, and that's pretty much what I love about it. All the wild stuff that they make you do. Right now I think I'm on the second to last heist, which is when you go into the FIB building.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very excited to get through the rest of it. It's so good. I also played some of the GTA Online.
Yeah.
Which is funny because when you launch for the first time, the achievements that are attached to it are clearly meant for when GTA Online first launched. Because if you remember back in the day, when they launched the GTA Online for the original on the 360, like you arrived in Los Santos like off a plane.
Yep.
And you had nothing. And you had to like build yourself up from nothing. Now when you arrive, they give you $4 million. You get to buy your own, you get to like choose your own path. So I started the game as the owner of this awesome nightclub, and there's like all these story related missions to the nightclub. But they never updated the achievements. So it's like the first achievement in the game is like when you have like an apartment and a garage and a car, which is hard to achieve when you have nothing. But now as soon as you arrive in the game, they give you $4 million, you buy a car, I own a nightclub, like the achievement pops instantly. It's funny that they never change it.
In the story mode?
This is GTA Online.
Oh, okay.
And there are so many like cutscenes and like actual story missions in GTA Online now.
Yeah.
It's like having a version of GTA that lasts forever. And of course you could buy like the GTA Plus. Like you can buy a subscription service that adds all this stuff to it. I haven't done that, but I think I may explore GTA Online a little bit more though. Because there seems to be a lot of content there that I haven't like touched.
That's kind of like what people think of the game as at this point, kind of. Although, you know what's funny? Is I oddly did download this game the other night.
Yeah.
And then I went to go play it in the morning. I'm like, starting story mode. You start with like the bank robbery. And I was like, why the fuck did you download this? and then I like did not like and I've never liked the character movement in these games. And I was just like,
yeah, it's so awkward when you hit the A button.
I deleted it right away. I was like, that was 150 gigs of nonsense for no reason. I don't know what possessed me. I think I was watching a video on YouTube where someone was talking about how amazing GTA 5 is.
Well, I mean, for me, it was like all the talk about GTA 6. I wanted to scratch the itch that it had been created. I made it through the tutorial. I've made my peace with the character movement. I'm really, really enjoying it. So,
yeah, I mean, there is something amazing about their games. And then I thought about downloading Red Dead 2 after that. After I did all this shit, I was like,
that is in my brain now too. I'm like, if I go back to Red Dead 2, I'm gonna have the same experience where I'm like, oh, this is awesome now. This is great.
I'm sure
maybe,
it is.
Maybe I will.
It's so slow to start off. I remember that.
Yeah.
I'm sure once you get into it, I'm sure it's an amazing game, but it's just, can I suffer through 5 hours of cutscenes one day?
The other thing in this game is like, whenever you switch to Trevor, you're like, what am I going to see? Like the last time I switched to him, he was like alone on an island. There was a boat offshore to swim to. And like he was surrounded by dead bodies. I'm like, I have no idea what just happened.
I ultimately don't love that. Like, that's another thing too. I was like, oh yeah, the switching thing. I was like, I don't like that.
Yeah.
I hope they don't.
I don't mind it, but I hate Trevor as a character. Like he just.
Yeah.
They do a lot to try to redeem him, and I'm like, it just doesn't make sense. Like I have no like love for this guy who like. Just walked into a nightclub and is storing the club owner in a refrigerator. Like I don't like I'm supposed to feel bad for him. I can't do it.
You play anything else, Tony?
No, just so much GTA.
GTA.
I'm gonna finish it. I'm hoping to finish it this weekend.
All right. Earl, did you get to play anything this week?
Nothing new. But I guess. So I promised that I would turn on my PlayStation 5 this week, and I turned it on twice. So, you know, that's like a 200% increase.
Did you actually use it for anything?
I did. That's what I was going to get to, which is that I forgot at some point I went through my PlayStation Fest games. I'm like, this looks interesting. This looks interesting. So I turned it on. I'm like, oh, I have a bunch of Sonic games on here. So I started up Sonic Colors Ultimate. Because I remember really liking Sonic Colors on the Wii. And I'm going to need some more time with it because it's fine. It's solid so far. Like, I mean, Sonic has a very low bar to cross and like he controls well. I feel like I'm in control of him. He's not flying off the map or anything. But I forgot it was kind of show to start in that you have to unlock the powers and then kind of go back to the boost to use the new Wisp abilities. But good music. It looks nice. I feel like they update. I mean, it's an update, but I feel like they added characters from Boom. But I could be wrong with that. And then, like I said, because apparently they've given out a bunch of Sonic games on PlayStation Plus over the years, I also tried out Team Sonic Racing. And I don't know why my head is like, I want to get ready for Mario Kart. Let me play another racing game. And this one's different. As the name implies, you are on a team. So it's teams of three so far. I'm playing through the story mode. And it's interesting because there are like team abilities. There's ways for you to function with your team. It's like you can not drift. You can go in your teammate's ship stream if they're in front of you or vice versa. It's a way to kind of get like a speed boost. I assume online, if you did something like this, it's also a great way to like see the optimal course path because you get that you get like a path in the race course to follow. So that's kind of nifty and cool. I guess this was, I mean, again, Sonic Colors was a thing that introduced the Wisp. And I see, I guess they've become just like this big thing because it's also like all the power-ups in that racing game are different Wisps. And I'm like, I don't know what you do. I'm just pressing buttons and hoping for the best. But it's taken some getting used to because it is, again, it is slightly different than Mario Kart in terms of like one, the team ability. Like you have an item, you can give an item to your teammate. You can have a teammate give you items. And that's some of those is how you upgrade items. Like you can get like a missile wisp, and if you trade it back and forth, you get three of them. So you know, again, it's a good way to kind of get people to play catch up. One of the things they do, at least in story mode, is that you rank individually, but you also rank overall. So it doesn't make any sense if you come in first and your teammates come in fifth and sixth or whatever, if you're not helping them. So that's why they use these abilities to get you going. So yeah, I'm having fun with it. And I don't know why. I mean, I know why, but I was, you know, it was a quiet day at work today. And I got in my head, I'm going to play a round of Outro. It's never just a round. I spent the last hour while we were recording this podcast finishing a run. I'm happy I did beat the run. Just got the great set of Jokers, cleared it. And then it worked out perfectly in Anti 7. I got a negative Joker that was just it. I forgot what it even did, but it didn't do anything that added to my hand too much. But, you know, it gave me six Jokers. And then the final ante was like, all cards are debuffed until you sell a Joker. I'm like, you're not doing anything. These five are working for me, so you're gone. I beat that, so that was fun. So, yeah, but Outro is always a good time.
Outro is always a good time.
Game of the year.
All right. Well, we got one more thing to talk about.
Earl, we do.
Earl, tell us about Mortal Kombat Annihilation.
I don't want to. So, as I said at the start of the show, sometimes your decisions come back to bite you in the ass. So yes, Mortal Kombat Annihilation, of course, is the sequel to the Mortal Kombat movie, released in 1997. I would say, it's a sequel. Like, it is a direct sequel. You would not know that by almost everybody in the cast being released.
Yes. In fact, they make, I was reading the trivia of the game, And apparently in that like initial, like it's supposed to be happening right after. Yep. Apparently some of them are not wearing the right clothes.
Yeah, it's so weird to see, because I think of the core cast, Yu Kang is the only person who's actually the same actor from the first movie.
Right? I think there were two. I was reading there were two.
Who's the other one?
Somebody else. I can't remember exactly who.
The Katana?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Yes. It's Katana and Yu Kang.
Felicis.
Everybody else. Everybody else is different. And it's so jarring because, like, literally, it is the very end of Mortal Kombat that they pick up on. And it's like, who are you? not only that, but I guess they had too many characters. And, like, we're going to kill off one of the main characters from the last movie in the opening sequence and one of the dumbest things ever. I think dumb is the best way to describe a lot of this movie, because after they kill off one of the main characters, the other thing they do is like, we're going to split all of the characters into their own separate subplot because we can. And it does not behoove anybody. I think I tweeted through this, or Skyed, or whatever people call it. Characters are not really introduced. They show up and then they disappear. Like, there's a part where I know Cyrex is one of them. I forget. Is Smoke's not the other cyborg? Who's the other cyborg?
Cyrex.
They show up. No names. No nothing. Destroyed. Gone from the movie. Scorpion shows up. You can see a new Sub-Zero who's like a good guy. They fight. Gone from the movie. Shao Kahn, who has the cheapest looking costume. And for some reason, they decided, yes, it is a stupid looking costume. The actor's not much better looking. So they're like, we're just going to have him, like, ham it up out of costume every time he can. And I'm like, he adds nothing to this movie. There's a character who joins Yu Kang in his quest, who's clearly evil. Like, she's not even hiding it. But somehow we're supposed to be surprised when she turns on them.
Yeah.
And then there's just a bunch of fights that happen, and they happen, and you move on with your life. I will also have to give a special shout out to Jax, because they made him the blackest black man in the world, because he's like speaking all that jive talk. And yeah, this is not what I would consider a good movie.
No, it's a mess of a film.
No, it's bad in like every possible way. It's like they took everything that was good about the first movie and forgot what those things were. It's off. Like, the first movie is like campy and like is aware that of what it is. This movie takes itself too seriously. And then it doesn't help that they took like the two people who could actually act
out of bring the movie. Them back. Oh, yeah, that reminds me, because part of this movie is Raiden. Okay, you find out Raiden. I mean, to be fair, this is a Mortal Kombat. Raiden has a very messy family tree. Shao Kahn and him are brothers. Their parents are elder gods. At some point, they're like, you have to give up your powers if you want to help them. So he gives up his powers. Raiden dies. Oh, my gosh. And okay, 5 minutes later, he's back alive. But, we can't kill Raiden. He got a haircut. I'm assuming the guy was just like, I'm not going to wear a wig this entire movie.
And they make like a big deal out of the haircut too. It's like, it's important.
Yes. It is. I always like the original Mortal Kombat. This makes me appreciate it more. Somehow it made me appreciate Street Fighter more too, because I'm like, at least Street Fighter did something interesting with all the characters they had. And they showed up for the entirety of the movie. This one, again, Nightwolf shows up for a scene to train Yu Kang. And then he disappears.
He throws an axe.
Find your animality.
Yeah. Oh, it's so bad.
Yeah, so that was the other thing, because animalities are the new thing in Mortal Kombat 3, so that's the big focus. But it's not even the end of the fight. Like, he does it. They both basically draw, and they're like, we're going to have to set it in this old-fashioned way.
And it's the worst special effects imaginable.
Oh, my God.
The best part of the movie, though, is this stupid dragon and what's like a Hydra type thing. It's like, I mean, this is at least this is the most interesting thing going on in this film, I think.
I couldn't even recite to you one interesting thing that happened. Like I said, because one of my personal favorite things in movies and TV shows, I'm a huge, you know, Power Rangers kid and old cartoons. It's like whenever like a fight scene is set to like the theme song or like that action song, a very old trick. The Mortal Kombat theme is amazing. The Techno Syndrome, and they put it out in this movie. I'm just like, you are so bad. I can't even get hyped for this song coming on because this fight is so dumb.
Is there so like, this came out what two years after?
Yeah.
What happened? Like, why didn't they get Paul W.S. Anderson back? Why?
Yeah.
It was a success, right? Like the first movie made a really
good. Apparently, the actor who played Johnny Cage read the script and was like, no.
Oh,
again, if you die in the first, because I looked this up. This movie, I mean, back in 95, 97, different monies, but it's cost $10 million more than Mortal Kombat. And I'm like, where did the money go? Because somehow the special effects in the locations are worse in this movie. Oh, we didn't even get to the fact that they're traveling, like they travel in those hamster balls. Oh my God.
I missed that. Did I just like totally black?
It's like, that's because
yesterday.
Because like, when they split up, like they have to go, like Yu-Kang goes one place and Katana goes one place. They put like Raiden puts them in, like little hamster balls to like travel through the earth. I guess you missed that. That was
I just totally missed that.
Listen, I'm not gonna fault anybody for checking out this movie really quickly. Okay, I'm just on Wikipedia just because again I don't remember some of these characters. Again, I don't even know if they're named. Yu-Kang's in it, Katana, Raiden, Sonya Blade, Jax. Okay, those people known. They're known quantities. Actually, who's Raiden? Oh, wait, sorry. I spelled it with a Y. That is spelled with an I. Shao Kahn, Shinnok, Sindel, Jade, Motar, Shiva, Nightwolf, Johnny Cage, Ermerich, Cyrex, Scorpion, Noob Sabat, Rain, Barak, Smoke. I forgot Barak. He's in there for a scene as well. Smoke, Sub-Zero, Melina. And I'm almost certain more than half of them don't get named. Like, I don't remember who Noob Sabat is in this movie. I guess he's the other. No. Is he the smoke robot?
Which one is?
Like, I know who he's in. I know who he's in Mortal Kombat. I don't remember who he is. And I don't
know. So, after Jax fights Centaur Dude, Noob Sabat attacks Sonya, and Jax saves her.
Oh, so literally just like a Brink of Yumisic type of thing.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, this is not... This is... To me...
Not fine cinema.
The problem with this really is... This is them being like, the first one successful. We need to put more of what fans expect, because this is like, we're gonna throw all these characters in, we're gonna have all these fight sequences, it's gonna be so cool. And at no point did they think like, oh, we have to create a character, we have to create compelling characters, because nobody's more likable than they were in the first movie. I would say like most of them are dumb. Like Katana gets kidnapped for 75% of the movie, and then
they're not paying attention so they can avoid a love scene, I guess.
Yeah, which is weird. And then, like, her mother gets knocked out off screen. And that is probably my favorite scene. And it's, like, when her mother wakes up. And she has, like, the most shit-eating grin on her face. But, yeah, it's just dumb all around. I think my rank is going to be pretty obvious. I was going to be nice and put, like, a D, but I don't. Like, there's nothing here that I find redeeming.
Thank you, Earl. Like
thank you. Yes. You had better said that.
I wasn't sure that we were going to be able to come to grips if you were like, it's a D.
I mean, but yeah, I don't remember hating this as much. And I will also say this is literally the first time I've ever seen this movie bone sober. Because I watched it on Tuesday. I'm not going to
trick. And probably the last time, too.
Oh, to be honest. Definitely.
Definitely. I hope it's the last time I ever have to watch.
I'm sure I'll see it again, but I was just, none of this makes sense. Getting rid of the tournament means like there's no structure. So there's just random fights that end. Like, nobody actually dies, really.
Nobody important, anyway.
Yeah. I guess.
Cause so Johnny Cage.
Well, yeah.
Johnny Cage isn't important to this movie, though.
That was just like, we want to write off this really popular character for some reason.
Because we don't have the actor, and we don't want to spend the entire time explaining why we don't have the actor.
Again, that would work if the rest of the cast was not replaced. Because, yes, in almost every way, I think everybody else was a lesser replacement. And again, not even saying the first one is high acting, but it makes you appreciate what they did.
Yeah, this, like, James Remar, who plays Raiden in this, he's no Christopher Lambert.
No.
Jesus Christ. Like, it's so bad.
Which is also weird, because he's actually a decent actor.
Not in this, he was not.
No, because he's Dexter's dad in the Dexter. He's in the Warriors. He's in 48 Hours. Like, again, he's kind of that guy you see, and like, oh, it's that guy.
Yeah.
But yeah, he has a decent amount of quality movie. Oh, he's in Too Fast, Too Furious. He's Brian's boss. Again, I'm not saying that's the height of, you know,
that's the height of his career. I'm with you. I have to go F on this one. Tony.
F. This is a clear F. I don't if this isn't an F, I don't know what an F is.
Jeff. Oh,
F would be that yucky.
Yeah.
Yeah, where are you at? F on this, or are you gonna
watch this? You crazy? Although it was
he opts out. He's like, no.
It was a very fun early podcast. We Hate Movies, and they also thought it was terrible. James Remar, by the way, I would argue way better actor than Christopher Lambert, and he was in Oppenheimer. He was in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Django Unchained. I don't think anyone could be good in this. It's like a porn parody of fucking Mortal Kombat.
That is true. That is what this is. It is. Yeah. It's just a porn parody with no porn. Like,
that's the worst part. If it was actually porn, it might be interesting.
At least there's some nudity.
Get over here.
There'd be a reason to watch it.
Yeah.
Is the Mortal Kombat 2 still coming out this year or what?
Yes.
Yeah.
Cool. I don't think we've seen anything about it yet. I mean, we know they had a poster for it, I think.
Yeah, there's a poster for it.
Okay. I would also just want to share. I just want to share. Like, I feel like this is probably how you folks felt when I talked about some of the earlier movies. Because I put this out on Blue Sky. I'm like, okay, you know, I think every movie I put it out, and like, what are people's thoughts on this? And I've gotten a few people like, oh, I love this movie. So like, I love so bad it's good movies, and I feel like this is just so bad. It doesn't become entertaining again.
It never loops around on itself. It's like, oh, this is fun now. It's like, no, this is not fun.
I should watch this someday. I just didn't get around to it. But defer to you guys. I defer to you guys. I'll support the F.
For we're dropping it as an F for our joint ranking. Earl, what's next?
This is going to be an interesting one to revisit because I've only seen it once and I don't have a thing, like a reference point for it. But next up is 1999's Wing Commander. Starring Freddie Prinze Jr. and Matthew Lillard. I don't even know the last time we had a Wing Commander game.
It's been a while.
Technically,
Star Citizen is like a spiritual successor.
But apparently the last game was Wing Commander Arena in 2007. Again, according to Wikipedia, this is a 90s franchise. Like, first one came out in 90, second one in 92, 91. Third one, 94. Fourth one, 96. And then there's like 10 years in between that and the next one. And then somehow somebody made a movie out of it. So
I'm very curious. This one's funny is because Chris Roberts directed it. He is the director of the games as well.
Oh, God.
He is the guy that is in charge of what's the company that's doing Star Citizen. So he is the founder and CEO of Cloud Imperium Games, the guy who's doing the company that's doing Star Citizen. So yeah, this is a special one. It's like especially a mess. Mark Hamill he appeared in Wing Commander 3 and 4, the games. In fact, he's a big part of those games, actually. And he has a voice, uncredited voice role here. So.
Oh, and not only that, but Chris Roberts is in this movie as Lieutenant Roberts. So, you know, good on him for putting himself in a movie he directs based off of his own video game property. So.
Yeah, there's got to be a story here. I'm gonna look that up. I bet it's more entertaining than the actual movie, which I have seen. I just don't remember it.
So. Yeah, I seen it once, like maybe 15 years ago.
So, there's that. Join us in a month for Wing Commander, but join us next week, where I don't think Jeff. I don't think you're gonna have played Elden Ring. No, not out yet.
Yeah, I think it will be out after we record.
Okay.
And I think it's also probably, we'll see what they do in the next week. I think it would be a good time to kind of do like a switch to, you know, it will be out in a week. By the time we next record after that, it would be out. Hopefully, some of us will have
That's crazy. It's so close.
And it still does not feel that way, but.
But I'm excited. But yeah, I agree, Earl. It's just like, how is it that close?
Mickey,
knock up. And if you guys have Epic Game Store, the free games on there, the brand new just came out today, Deliver at All Costs, which we talked a bit about a couple weeks ago. And Sifu up for free on Epic Games and PC. Go pick them up. I'll have some Deliver at All Costs to talk about next week. But that'll be it. We'll be back in a week. Enjoy your Memorial Day weekend, everyone. Jeff, say goodnight.
Good night.